Robinhood Radio presents Agriculture from Turkana Farms. Here's Peter Davies.
Our Freedom Ranger meat chickens, all 50 of them, made their big move on Tuesday from their brooder boxes in the chicken coop out to their portable pen on pasture. This was a move much delayed by the increasingly bad weather we've been having lately. Once they're big enough so that they cannot be carried off by the red-tailed hawks, which nest just across Old Sawmill Road, they will be released in the daytime from their portable pen, which we move daily, to forage on grasses, weeds, and insects. The big move prompted me to think about my long history with the chickens. I could paraphrase Gertrude Stein's famous saying, "A rose is a rose is a rose," by saying, "A chicken is a chicken is a chicken." But it's not. No, in my lifetime, a chicken has been so many different things. In my childhood in Wales in the 1940s, I can remember eating fish, lamb, mutton, and beef, but rarely chicken. It was the days before the industrial raising of chicken took hold in Britain, and also the days of wartime austerity, so apparently having chicken was still a special thing. I can't remember much about the very occasional chicken we did eat, except that I was made by my grandmother, mother, and aunts to eat it with knife and fork. I was certainly not allowed to pick it up with my fingers. Once we moved to America in 1946, everything changed as my mother, brother, and I ended up in a house with a large chicken coop in the backyard filled with chickens. These were not specialized as they are today as egg chickens or meat chickens. These were just chickens that supplied us with eggs, but also served as the source for chicken dinner every Sunday as we culled the excess roosters and older hens. These were mature chickens with a taste and texture quite different from the immature chickens we commonly eat today. By the time I was in the late years of grade school, the supermarket had arrived, and pressure from disgruntled neighbors had forced us to give up our backyard chickens. Our chicken from then on became an industrialized product that appeared neatly packaged in the supermarket meat department. It was milder in taste and lacking in the texture that older, more muscled, free-ranging chickens had. On the positive side, it was no longer a special treat served only on Sunday, but had become an everyday meal. But then my chicken history moved back into an earlier time when I took a 3-year contract to teach at the American College in Izmir, Turkey. In the early 1960s, Turkey then was a land without industrially raised chickens and without supermarkets. Chicken was not generally available unless you found a grocer who also carried chicken. Live chickens, that is. On my first chicken buying trip to a nearby grocer, I was shocked when the elderly grocer, carrying the live chicken upside down by its legs, led me out to the curb and, wielding an axe in the other hand, beheaded the chicken, handing it to me by its legs as it bled into the gutter. I returned to the apartment, leaving a slight trail of blood behind me. I had already been warned by a fellow faculty member that the chickens generally available were so old and tough that boiling was the only way to prepare them. There was to be no fried, grilled, or roasted chicken, just boiled chicken for the next 3 years. And sure enough, I was soon being invited by Turkish friends to dinners at which boiled chicken on a bed of pilaf was often the central feature. This rather elemental experience with the grocer's chicken was repeated in another way when I went to stay in the summer house of Ismail and Nebahat Shardah, an affluent Turkish urban couple, in the mountainous region of Bozdağ, outside of Izmir. The morning of our first day, I happened to look out of my bedroom window to see Nebahat, dressed to the nines in heels, hose, and fancy dress, knife in hand, in the backyard chasing chickens. I was even more amazed to see her nonchalantly grab a hen, slit its throat, bleed it, and pluck it all in a matter of minutes. We had boiled chicken on pilaf that evening. It was as a result of experiences like this where the connection between killing a chicken and eating it was so elementally close that I was amazed upon my return to the States to find myself once again in an antiseptic world in which chicken appears already killed and dressed and neatly prepackaged on supermarket shelves. And yet I must admit, it was a real pleasure to once again be able to enjoy fried, grilled, and roasted chicken as an everyday kind of pleasure. And so for decades, the supermarket chicken was the one I was familiar with. But I was, in my pre-farming stage, completely unaware that the increasingly industrializing of chicken production was gradually transforming the chicken in important ways. Special varieties of meat chicken were being developed through selective breeding. The body shape of chickens was being altered to provide more and more white breast meat. Chickens were no longer foragers, but spent their entire lives in huge, crowded sheds fed on special grain mixes. The metabolism of the chicken was being altered to make them reach market size faster, so that ultimately most of the chickens we eat today take only 7 weeks to reach market size and are therefore actually pre-adolescent and therefore relatively fat-free and hence relatively flavor-free. I, along with the rest of America, had been gradually conditioned to eat what I would call baby chicken. In the 1980s and 90s, Mark and I began to realize that something was missing in our chicken-eating experience, so that in our summers in Sag Harbor, we searched for and found Iacona's, an organic chicken farm in nearby East Hampton, selling free-range chickens. Shopping there had elements of my Turkish experience of chicken, in that as you arrive at the farm shop, a live chicken was brought out, and one of the employees put it head down into the killing cone and slit its throat. After which, old Mr. and Mrs. Iacona, working as a team, plucked, gutted, and cut it up right in front of you. Their chicken, because of its flavor and texture and freshness, became our special chicken. While in the city, we got by on an everyday basis with the factory chicken of the supermarket. Once Mark and I began farming 18 years ago, we, with our growing understanding of what factory farming had done to chicken, determined that we would, as part of our farm mission, return as much as possible to chickens as they once were. After a false start with the popular Cornish cross chicken, we finally found the direction we wanted to go in. Hence, the Freedom Ranger chickens we just put out to pasture on Tuesday. A special meat chicken bred by the French to replicate the qualities of the foraging chickens of old, which we raise in the old-fashioned way by putting them out on pasture. No, dear readers, despite what Gertrude Stein may think about a rose, a chicken is a chicken is a chicken makes no sense. Rather, a chicken, as I have tried to suggest, is what one makes of it. Try one of our Freedom Rangers, and hopefully you'll see the difference.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Turkana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Turkana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of Turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of Turkey. And his third hat is Turkana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website, TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.